ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, it's Sam Hawley from ABC News Daily, the podcast that brings you one big story affecting your world each weekday in just 15 minutes.
I took on the role of a 14-year-old who'd been asked out on a date by their 24-year-old teacher and asking the chatbot their advice, what should I do? And 3 out of the 10 chatbots said they thought that would be fine for me to do so.
Join me for ABC News Daily. Find it on the ABC Listen app.
Summer is here. Head to the local beach and you'll see a parade of near-naked bodies strewn across the sand, glistening under the sun. For many, the only thing protecting them is an invisible layer of sunscreen. But draw your eyes down to your phone and you'll notice something else. Small, sexy sunscreen brands are taking on the old and trusted ones, promising chemical-free safety and protection using only Mother Nature's ingredients. But do they live up to the hype? I'm Thomas Arete. This is the final episode of Before and After, a 4-part series by Background Briefing. And it's about what happens when the internet tells you what's wrong with you and tries to sell you the solution. Loretta Florence is the reporter. Loretta, great to have you with us. How are you? What have you been looking at?
Hi, Tom. Yeah, I'm good. It's nice to be here. So this story started for me with some office chat.
Some office chat. Okay, who with?
Well, I sit next to this reporter called Rachel Carbonell.
Yeah,
you may
yeah.
know her name because for the best part of a year, she's been working on sunscreen stories. So specifically this pretty major story that some Australian sunscreens aren't quite performing as promised.
Is your sunscreen all it claims?
Testing by consumer group Choice has found many fail to meet their SPF claims. 20 sunscreens were tested and only 4 met their advertised ratings.
Rachel and I, we often swap notes and help each other out with stories. And as part of all this, she shows me this email she's received. And it's from a guy who wants to talk to a journalist about zinc sunscreen. His name is Craig Jones. He's the founder of a company called Mugu.
Oh, I know Mugu.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not just sunscreen, but a lot of different skin products.
A lot of different skin.
Moisturiser, all of that sort of thing. You see them in your chemist.
Yeah, so I wanted to find out more about his concerns with these zinc sunscreens. Zinc today, it isn't like the fluoro stuff from back in the day that you might have in your head. It's often clear, and lots of the brands selling it pitch themselves as a more natural alternative. So I went up to the Gold Coast where Craig's factory is based. Oh, g'day. My name's Loretta. I'm here to see Craig.
Oh, sure. Just go grab him. Thank you.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Thanks.
We've delayed our lunch break just so it looked like everybody was working.
Sorry. Craig takes me upstairs. He's got some offices above a big warehouse and there's workers there packing boxes and Mugu products. It's really busy. The interesting thing about Craig is he actually used to be an Air Force pilot, but about 20 years ago he was messing about at home. He was trying to help his mum with some skin issues she was having.
My mother had psoriasis and she was using a country remedy, which was the udder balm that they would use on cows to repair cow's udders. It was very thick, very pasty. So I made a version of the cream that was much more easy for her to apply. I just did that in my kitchen. And after a few months, someone suggested I sell it.
So he starts shopping it around, you know, to health food stores. And then fast forward 20 years, he now has about 80 employees. Some of them are working here at this pretty impressive looking facility. And I get a tour around. It's like this big, sterile concrete place with lots of shiny silver machines. And many of his 100 products are made here on site. But there are 2 products that aren't being made here.
Down here we have...
Craig's got 2 zinc sunscreens. He's got an SPF 15 and he's got an SPF 40. And he outsources manufacturing those to different facilities with a higher standard of accreditation because you need that to make sunscreens.
Our sunscreen, we sell out virtually every year.
It's actually not his favourite Mugu product.
It was quite a thick product, our sunscreen, and we could only get to SPF 40 while other sunscreens were getting to SPF 50 with the zinc only.
He's been selling these sunscreens for 15 years and, you know, it's all going fine other than them being a tiny bit too thick. He's pretty happy with it. And then one day, over a year ago, he gets a call from the manufacturer who was making his SPF 15 product in Perth. And she says,
we got word that the zinc, the raw product, looked different in the barrel that it came in.
Something doesn't look right. This type of zinc oxide, it comes in an oil and you're supposed to stir it with a paddle before you use it.
With this batch of zinc they were finding, they could put the paddle in and the paddle would just stay stuck. So it was much more settled. I'm not exactly sure, but they just noticed it was different.
So long story short, the lab tries to make the SPF with this zinc, but they can't get it to mix properly. So the zinc provider says, look, we'll give you a credit for that.
Yeah, they eventually refunded that zinc from that manufacturer.
So that gets resolved. But the whole thing makes Craig a bit worried about his SPF 40 because the zinc oxide he uses for his SPF 40 comes from the same company. And he actually has a few customers around this time complain about that sunscreen.
And so just out of an abundance of caution, we thought we better test the next batch of sunscreen we make.
So he sends off two batches of sunscreen for preliminary testing, and then the result comes back. And actually, I think you've got the results there for his SPF. This is an SPF 40.
I've got it here, yeah. By the look of it, the nominated SPF is 40. There's this complex-looking table here of a bunch of numbers, but I do note at the bottom, test product average SPF is 15. And that is of a product that's supposed to be 40. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, that's right. And he did a similar test on another batch.
I've got it here as well. So nominated SPF 40 once again. So we've got the indicative SPF with this batch was 27.
At the time, I thought SPF 27 was pretty bad. I mean, SPF 27 still gives you very good sun protection. But if we're saying it's SPF 40, in my opinion, it has to be above SPF 40. What if someone else tests it? What if people are getting sunburned? I thought that was a pretty bad result.
So how's he feeling about that? He's been selling this product, which, as you say, sells out every year. He's proud of it. Might not be the consistency he wants, but he's proud of the product. And it's nowhere near SPF 40 on both of these tests.
Yeah, he's not feeling great. He's now got a whole lot of sunscreen that he can't sell.
Yeah.
So he makes this massive decision. He actually throws it all out. He throws out $400,000 worth of zinc sunscreen.
400 grand. Wow, so that's a blow, right?
That's a blow. It's a chunk out of his bottom line.
Sunscreen is a low-margin product. We don't make much per tube. And so to throw out $400,000 worth of sunscreen is well over 12 months worth of a return on sunscreen.
So he must be frustrated at this company, surely. He's just had to chuck out 400 grand worth of product.
Yeah, he is. He's pretty stressed. But he's not at this point, he's not especially upset yet. He thinks he's got a good relationship with the zinc oxide company and he decides to tell them about the results.
What I thought would happen was they would come down to the manufacturing facility, talk it over with the quality control people, you know, do a little bit more digging around.
So what happens? Is that how it plays out?
That's not how it plays out. So the company requests samples of the sunscreen and zinc for follow-up testing of their own. And then after a bit of back and forth,
they suggested that it's going to be our fault in the manufacturing of it and that nobody else has had any problems.
The company that makes the zinc is saying it's not our zinc that's the problem. It's the people turning it into sunscreen who have messed this up.
Their theory was that the manufacturer must have left the lid open on the drum of zinc and it's absorbed water.
The company says it did its own analysis and it argues there wasn't enough zinc oxide added to Craig's sunscreen to begin with, which could have affected the SPF levels. So Craig checks in with the people making the sunscreen and they tell him they haven't changed the way they do things and they've used the right amount of zinc oxide. And he thinks, well, this is a well-run lab.
It's not, you know, it's not a fish and chip shop.
The thing is, this is a TGA audited lab and so he thinks they're not leaving the lids off drums. That explanation just doesn't really make sense to him. And then he comes up with a way he can actually settle this.
We tested some other sunscreens that we believed were using the same zinc to test whether it was going to be us or whether it was this this zinc that was the problem.
So he grabs a couple of sunscreens he thinks are using the zinc oxide and he sends them off for preliminary testing. These are SPF 50 advertised products, and what he finds is that just like his sunscreen, they come back with an SPF that's way below that. The highest one is 25.
Then it's like, no, it's definitely not us. There's a problem in my opinion, with that zinc. And that just doesn't affect us. It affects everybody else that's using that zinc supplier as well.
So he must be concerned now because he'd be thinking, well, the next batch of zinc oxide you send me is going to have the same problem.
Yeah, well, you know, there's not going to be a next batch because by this time the relationship has broken down.
Yeah.
When he sends off these results, the company comes back and says, well, he's wrong. And he did get something wrong. One of the products he tested wasn't actually using their zinc anymore. But the company's concern is more fundamental. They reject anything is wrong with their zinc.
That must be a blow to him because he thought they had a good working relationship. They work near each other. They've been working together for so long on a successful product.
Yeah, it's a blow to him. And now he is. You asked if he was angry before. Now he is angry.
So what is he? What can he do now?
So he and the company part ways. They're both pretty annoyed at each other over this situation. He also lets the TGA know, so that's the Therapeutic Goods Administration. They're obviously the regulator of all therapeutic goods in Australia, medicines, etc., including sunscreens.
It was just sort of a quick email, and what I expected to happen from that would be that someone would get on the phone, talk to us, find out more, you know, investigate a little bit further.
It is a very preliminary email.
But, yeah, just silence. So I think about 3 or 4 months later, we chased it up again. And the word back was, it's in confidence, we can't talk about it.
He's getting really annoyed now because, you know, in his mind, he's doing the right thing. He could have put this new batch of sunscreen out to the market and no one would be the wiser. 27, it's not terrible protection from a sunscreen.
So what does he do?
I Googled and I found a journalist that had previously written about sunscreen and said, look, I think there's an issue with some sunscreens out there.
And that journalist was my colleague Rachel, who's been chatting to me about sunscreen ever since. So by the time I go up and visit Craig, he's sent us a bunch of preliminary SPF tests that he's done on sunscreens using this company's zinc. He's got the test for his own sunscreen batch that he had to throw out. He's got an SPF 50 that he says is branded Surf Life Saving Australia. That's one we mentioned earlier. It's tested 18 and 25. And he's got another SPF product called Reef Safe. And that returned a result of 21. And there's something about that third sunscreen, the Reef Safe one, that catches our attention. And to explain this, I'm really going to have to get into the TGA woods for you here, Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
Every sunscreen has to be listed on the TGA. There's a database. It's called the ARTG. And every sunscreen has to have its own Austell number. It's called. That Austell number has to be printed on the bottle. If someone wants to look up the ingredients of the sunscreen, if TGA needs to do a recall or track you down, they know exactly all the details,
yeah,
right?
It's all part of the regulatory framework around it. As you say, they're highly regulated products.
Yeah, they are. And the Austell number on the Reef Safe sunscreen is 407959. And then this weird thing happens. Because both Rachel and I have started following sunscreen brands on Insta, we start noticing lots of sunscreen brands have got that exact Austell number, the same one.
407959.
407959. Yes, you've memorized it. It's absolutely etched in my brain.
Etched in your memory forever.
So this is kind of weird, right? Because every brand of sunscreen that's being sold, we think it should have its own number. So why would all these different brands have the same one? And it starts to become almost a bit of a game for Rachel and I. We're sending each other, you know, her algorithm's ruined even worse than mine. She's been doing sunscreen stories for a year.
Yeah.
We keep sending each other. I've just found another 407959. Like, what is going on here, you know? Rachel even called me up one day from a shopping centre and she said, I found another 407959. We've got a spreadsheet where we just every time we see one, partly because I'm sick of getting messages in the night of different brands. Whenever we see one of these brands, we just pop it in the spreadsheet. We've got about 25 different brands in the spreadsheet.
Wow, of 407959s.
Yeah, our 407959 spreadsheet's got 25 brands. So we've just been collecting them. We've been collecting all the info about how much they charge, how big the bottle is, what kind of marketing they do.
Yeah.
Some of them say 100% organic, reef safe, similar marketing, but sometimes quite divergent. Like sometimes they talk about being for active people or kids sunscreen. It's all talks about being formulated for specific activities. But it's exactly the same formula.
It's exactly the same sunscreen formula.
Yeah, that's right. And it's the same formula that we have these preliminary SPF testing results for that shows it's way under the promised SPF of 50.
So what do you do with, I mean, you've done your research, you've collected all of this information. What do you do?
Well, we started calling people to check whether we'd got it wrong, like whether it's actually okay for 25 different brands to all share the same Austell number. And then I found this woman. She's super across Australia's sunscreen regulations. Her name's Amni.
So you want me to talk about the fact that I work for the TGA and all the rest of
that? That'd be great, yeah, if you could.
All right, awesome. My name is Amni Al-Rifai and I'm a regulatory affairs consultant. I started my career at the Therapeutic Goods Administration. I was responsible for a lot of the policy on listed medicines, so that included sunscreens, and I even wrote some of the legislation that's currently in use.
And I sent her a link to our spreadsheet and said, what do you think of this, 25 brands all sharing the same Austell?
No, that's not legal at all. The system has been designed so that each product has its own Austell number.
She sends me emails of various legislation of why you can't do that. She's like, this is really concerning. This is not how the system is supposed to work.
My first reaction was to be pretty horrified. I went and double checked because I thought there's no way this can be right.
And she's so taken aback by this. She starts going down the 407-959 wormhole as well.
Yeah, right. It's etched in her mind forever too.
Yeah, so I interviewed her on a Sunday and it's a Sunday afternoon. My phone starts pinging with Amni. Now she's suddenly sending me link after link of, I found another 407-959 and I found another one. And she actually thinks this could be a big problem for the brands selling all this sunscreen because legally they should all have a different Austell number.
My take would be they're all being illegally supplied at the moment.
So essentially they're selling sunscreen illegally.
That's right.
So you're finding all of these different sunscreens are basically the same formula, right? We know they're using the same zinc oxide. But who's actually making all these sunscreens?
When you go to the TGA's website, you can see the company behind it. The company that's sponsoring these sunscreens is called Veganic Skin. The CEO of that company is a guy called Joseph Mizakovsky.
We're a zinc sunscreen manufacturer based out of Brisbane, Australia. We supply a major brand out of Europe. And then we also supply a couple of sunscreen brands such as Surf Life Saving Zinc Sunscreen here in Australia.
Veganic Skin works very closely with another company, Advanced Zinc Tech. They share some directors and ownership interests, including Joseph's father, Lev Mizakovsky. And Advanced Zinc Tech produces zinc oxide. It's the raw active ingredient in sunscreen.
So in 2020, we had no customers, and we've now grown to over 140. And Advanced Zinc Tech, I think, is a big reason because they have a TGA-approved, FDA-approved active ingredient we can use, we can rely on. We know the zinc oxide's okay. And I think that's allowed us to grow.
Advanced Zinc Tech is also the company that Craig from Mugu was buying his zinc oxide from before their relationship went south last year. This is the zinc oxide that was in the batch of sunscreen that he threw out. There's something else we've discovered about Veganic Skin. So not only are they the supplier of all these sunscreens with the same Austell number that might not be working as advertised, they're also part of this pretty big effort to discredit chemical-based sunscreens.
Really? So they're having a bit of a dig?
Yeah, and there's a couple of ways they're doing this, Tom. Firstly, they're suing the Cancer Council in the federal court. They're claiming the charity has no proof that the chemical ingredients used in their Cancer Council-branded sunscreens are safe.
All we want is for them to remove those products from the market where they don't have safety data from the ingredients and to remove the comments from their website where they say all sunscreens are safe in Australia.
The Cancer Council say they won't comment because the case is before the courts. Veganic Skin is also one of the key players in this group called the Australian Sunscreen Council. They call themselves the Sunscreen Peak Body.
Yeah, okay.
But this so-called peak body for sunscreen in Australia actually advocates for zinc sunscreens only. And it works with unions to push zinc products to construction workers who spend hours in the sun. Along with other members of this council, Joseph obviously has a financial interest in promoting zinc sunscreens over non-zinc ones. But he says that's not what this is about.
I mean, I think if you're looking at the public health and safety of Australians, it shouldn't matter who profits from it. Like, when you're considering, should we move to a safer ingredient? Should we ban chemicals of concern? Considering who profits shouldn't be something you even that comes into the question.
So the people behind these companies are involved in every stage of the manufacturing process. They're making the zinc, they're turning it into sunscreen, and they're selling it to other brands. And they're also pretty central to advocating for the industry as well.
It all comes full circle, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And this is the company responsible for those 407959 sunscreens. So what did he tell you about that?
Well, he basically said the TGA is okay with it. And he said, look, if there's something wrong with the sunscreen and it needs to be recalled, well, that will be done by the batch number, not by the Austell number. But I asked Emni, and she says if there is a problem, like someone uses the sunscreen, gets sunburnt and complains to the TGA, the TGA has no record of their own, of these brands.
The regulator needs to be able to track the supply of these products and to be able to very quickly identify what the product is if there's ever a problem. So if we're seeing 5, 10, 20 products under the same listing, there's just no way to know when a product started supply, when that supply ceased.
We asked the TGA and they seem to agree. They said if the sunscreen has a different name, it needs a new Austell. They're now considering the issue and said they'll take action as appropriate.
And as you say, there's what, like 30 plus brands now, so it's going to be pretty hard to navigate.
Yeah, you would think so. And while I had Emni on the phone, I was wondering about some of the advertising I've seen them do on social media as well. And I wondered what she made of it. Because since I've been looking into sunscreen, my algorithm has been flooded with these ads.
When you put on a chemical sunscreen, it's absorbed into the body, into the bloodstream, and causes havoc and a huge toxic load that the body has to then process.
Chemical sunscreen in particular has so many dangerous ingredients that the FDA has established as potentially toxic and carcinogenic, but for some reason they're still able to sell them.
And I have wondered, what is the go with that? Are you allowed to say really negative things about other sunscreens on the market?
No, you're not allowed to say that. Australia obviously has a real problem with sun exposure and skin cancers. So the last thing I'd want is for people to be suspicious of their sunscreens and not use them.
Emni also says the TGA has an advertising code and that prohibits these kinds of ads.
You're legally not allowed to compare your product to another set of therapeutic goods and say that yours is safer or that those other products, are likely to cause harm.
But the boss of Organic Skin, Joseph Mizakovsky, is standing by the message in these ads.
It's not like we've invented it. I mean, if the EU have banned an ingredient for potential hormone disruption, we have every right to raise that.
The TGA won't comment on ads from individual brands, but it says it is concerned about some of the advertising of zinc sunscreens. It says these campaigns can present incomplete and alarmist narratives about sunscreen ingredients and that potential misinformation could cause unwarranted fear around using chemical-based sunscreens. In regards to Joseph's safety concerns, the TGA says it's now considering restricting the amount of three chemicals and reviewing another. Ultimately, it says the benefits of all sunscreens available in Australia continue to far outweigh any risks. But what we really want to figure out, right, is does the sunscreen actually work as it's advertised? And the only way for brands to know this is by testing. So we looked at a lot of these 407959 sunscreens advertising on Instagram, and some of them are saying, we test every batch, so you can be super confident our sunscreen works. And I just want to note, they're not legally required to do this, to test every single batch. That's something extra they do for peace of mind for their customers.
Right.
So one of the 407959 brands posted on social media about this, saying this extra testing is done at a lab called the Sunscreen Safety Testing Laboratory. That lab is based in Queensland, and it's been accredited by a US accreditation agency. But it's also 100% owned by Advanced Zinc Tech.
Yes, right. Okay. Wow, it does come full circle, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So at this point, I'm going to give you a simplified explainer of how sunscreen testing works. There's two ways of testing sunscreens. So you can do it in vitro. That's a test tube version of testing it.
Mm-hmm.
When you test a sunscreen to put it on the market, you can't do it in vitro. You have to do it in vivo, which is testing it on people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
So if you want to put a sunscreen on the market, you have to test it on 10 people.
As we test it on humans?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the way they go about that is...
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually going to get this guy, Dr. Michael Trout, to explain it because he is better than me at explaining it.
The testing is done on the lower back. We have devices called solar simulators that are able to project simulated sunlight through fluid-filled tubes onto a person's back, so you can make a small area slightly red. You can cause a mild sunburn.
And they figure out how long it's going to take you to burn with no sunscreen on. And then, once they have that, let's say it takes you 20 seconds to burn.
Then you apply the product. And for an SPF 50, that means, by definition, that it should take 20 seconds times 50 to burn that individual, because that's what SPF 50 means.
So often when companies do these tests, they'll do it on 3 to 5 people first. And then if it's going well, they'll bump it up to 10.
Okay.
So that's what Craig did on his test of the 407-959 sunscreen. He got it tested on 5 people and it came back with an SPF of 21 instead of its advertised 50. And Michael says at this point, you don't really need to go to 10 people to know that the sunscreen isn't doing what it should.
I would call the client and I would give them the news that they're not going to achieve a 50, and then we'd have a discussion of what next step should be. But it would be conclusive to me. If a person is looking for a 50, it's certainly not achieving that mark for a person who wants a higher performing sunscreen.
But Craig's tests were done earlier in the year, right? And we wanted to make sure that it's not just an unlucky batch. This is, as I said, there's over 30 sunscreens now using this formula. They shouldn't be all using the same number, but
no.
You know, they are.
But equally, you want to make sure you've got it right before casting doubt on a sunscreen product, because we're all in agreement that sunscreen is important.
So our producer, Nina, she went to the chemist 3 weeks ago.
I bought a bottle of Surf Life Saving Natural Mineral Face Sheer Liquid Zinc Sunscreen, which is SPF 50. It's a medium tint, but importantly, the Austell number of this product is 407959.
And then she takes it back to work.
So I filled out the Eurofins Dermatest form to request SPF testing.
And then she organises for us to get our own testing of the sunscreen and drives over to Eurofins testing lab to drop it off.
And what's the result of that one?
Yeah, so Rachel called me up last week as soon as she got those preliminary tests back. And she said the test results are 25.
25, right? So suggesting the same problem as Craig's testing.
Yeah, that's right. So it's consistent again in the 20s, just like the rest of those tests were. So Rachel told Joseph from Veganic Skin about these preliminary tests and showed him those earlier ones.
It's your Reef Safe SPF 50 with vitamin C with an Austell number of 407959.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably not seen that before, so feel free to take a minute to have a look at it.
It's just 5-person.
Yes, it's a 5-person panel.
He says these results are meaningless because testing on 5 people is considered a preliminary test. Joseph also takes issue with the fact that the target SPF was set at 25 and 30 for these tests instead of 50.
I mean, this skews all the results. So, like, you can't even use it.
Ultimately, he says testing on people, you know, the legal method required to show your sunscreens meet the SPF they're advertised at, is just too unreliable.
All the research shows the gold standard is in vitro. In vivo is extremely variable. It has so many issues. Again, like I said, it's one person's opinion on the redness. So I'm not concerned. We have the in vitro data.
But after his interview, Joseph went further. He sent us an email saying that the tests were a non-standard, statistically biased test designed to produce an artificially low SPF. We showed all these test results to Michael Trout and asked for his expert opinion.
You're not going to skew it from a low 20s to a 50. But depending on where you set that target, you can skew it a little bit higher or a little bit lower. But it really only extends to a couple of data points.
So finally, we asked to see Veganic Skin's 10-person testing to show that the sunscreens are SPF 50. This is the testing you're required to have on file when you register a sunscreen with the TGA.
But I will pull up our batch record and, like I said, I'll send you our SPF data.
A few days later, we received an email from Joseph with two attachments. The documents attached were the SPF testing results for two Veganic Skin sunscreens. One has an SPF of 52.7 and the other 54.3. One's from a Canadian lab and the other is from the Australian Sunscreen Safety Testing Lab, Advanced Zinctec's own lab. And there's a problem. Neither test result clearly identifies what formula is being tested, so it's impossible to tell if either of these test results are the sunscreens we've been looking at.
So that doesn't really answer all the questions you've had here.
No, it's left us with as many questions as it's answered, really. We're still not clear what sunscreens these tests are actually testing. Craig's report to the TGA, that wasn't the only red flag that the regulator had about this zinc.
What was the other?
So in March last year, Advanced Zinctec, that company that makes the zinc oxide, received a warning letter from the FDA. That's America's food and drug regulator, because they sell these sunscreens in the US as well. The FDA did an official audit of their facilities, and we showed it to Michael Trout. He's the American guy who works in a sunscreen lab over there.
This one is easily one of the worst I've ever seen because I didn't see anything positive in it. The FDA seemed to be thoroughly disappointed with every aspect of their operation.
The letter outlines failings around data collection and product testing. Michael says that means
there's really no way for you to know that it would be an effective sunscreen material.
So it may work just fine, but they just don't know because they have not collected and stored the data properly.
The reason you have testing, the reason you have quality control when you're making these things is because that's what you need to make sure the material is the proper quality and the proper form that it'll perform.
The FDA returned for a second audit in July this year and found it was in an unacceptable state of compliance. But Advanced Zinctec says all those issues have been or are being resolved, and there is actually no block on this zinc oxide coming into America at the moment. More than a year has now passed since Craig first discovered this potential issue with the zinc oxide, and we know that at least 30 sunscreens, there may be more out there that we still haven't found. They're still advertising this formula. This formula is still being sold. This zinc oxide has been flagged by the FDA. The TGA has received warnings about it.
And it's still there on the market.
It's still there on the market. So
that's extraordinary.
Yeah, and when Craig first sent that email, he didn't want to put his head up above the parapet. He didn't want to speak. He just wanted to let a journalist know, see what they could find.
He thought he was doing the ethical thing when he felt like he was being completely ignored by the regulator and the company when he approached them in good faith.
Yeah, he did. But, you know, having seen all the choice stuff go down, he's now, he's decided that he wants to speak about it because he can't understand how so many people are sort of aware that there could be a problem here.
Something should have been done earlier, and it would have been nice, I think, to keep it a lower profile. But a year and a half, that's a long time for nothing to be done.
That's the final episode of Background Briefing's Before and After series. This story is a collaboration between Background Briefing, 7:30 and ABC Investigations. Background Briefing's taking a short break this summer, but we will be back in January with another must-listen series, so keep an eye out for fresh episodes in your feed. And until then, enjoy the sun, but don't forget to slip, slop, slap. Background Briefing's sound producers are Lila Schooner and Ingrid Wagner. Sound engineering by Simon Branthwaite. Music composition by Emrys Cronin. Fact-checking by Justine Landis-Hanley and additional reporting from Rachel Carbonell and Nina Copel. Our rollout producer is Ben Speen. The supervising producer is Max Chalmers, and our executive producer is Vanu Falali. The reporter on this story is Loretta Florence, and I'm Thomas O'Reedy. You can subscribe to Background Briefing on the ABC Listen app. Thanks for listening.